It's good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray? Happy Mother's Day as well. Okay, we'll pray and then get into our message. God, thank you for being good to us and for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be here together and to spend this time, this morning together. Thank you, God, for the camaraderie that you give us around your word. And we open this book the way that you, as you speak to us through your word, you unite us. You bring us closer to each other and closer to you. So God, I pray that as we read this morning that you would indeed speak to us through your word. And that you would change us, that we would know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're trailing the Israelites through the desert as we look at some of the big stories in the Old Testament. And we ask the question every week, what does this have to do with us? And what does this have to do with, well, what does this have to do with Jesus? And this week you might be tempted to ask a different question. Why are we talking about this on Mother's Day? What does this have to do with Mother's Day? And I thought about that at the beginning of the week, and I wanted, well, actually it was halfway through the week, and I was just going with, you know, what we're going to talk about today. And then it dawned on me, like, oh yeah, it's Mother's Day. But I really want to keep going. So we're going to keep going. And the tie-in for Mother's Day, it's a horribly weak tie-in, but we're going to talk about bread today. And my mom taught me how to make bread. So there you go. That's doesn't work, does it? Okay. So as we go with the Israelites to the desert, we looked at Exodus 17 last week, and we saw that they were thirsty. And I asked the question at the beginning of the message, what do you think they felt? And someone said thirsty. Well, it was me. I answered that one. But there were other things that were stated. And what is something else other than thirst that they might feel? Hunger. There, see, kind of laid the table for that one, right? They were hungry, as you would expect them to be traveling together through the desert. No McDonald's on the way. They were hungry, and God satisfied their hunger. That's today's story and today's message. They were hungry, and God satisfied their hunger. Look at Exodus chapter 16. We're going to read for a minute here, so let's get comfortable. They set out from Elim. And all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You see a little theme developing as we go through the stories. Constant complaining. It's like kids in Walmart. Not our kids. The other people's kids that we see, right? It's just a constant stream of complaints. Never happy. Never good enough. And then they were complaining against God. They insulted and offended God every time they complained against him. I wish God would have killed us back there instead of bringing us out here. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So God said, I'm going to provide. I'm going to give them what they need. They're hungry? Give them food. I'll rain down bread from heaven. They're not going to have to do anything. They're not even going to have to go to the store. Not even have to pay any money. They're going to just go out and gather in the bread that I'm going to give them. I'll provide. But with that, and this is the interesting part, fortunately, we're not going to stay much on this, but it is interesting. God says, I'm going to mix in a test with my provision. I'm going to provide, but I'm also going to test them. It's going to be a continual test every single day. Will you obey me or will you not? Will you obey me? Will you not? It's maybe even reminiscent to like in the Garden of Eden, where every day it was, don't eat from that tree, but eat from all the other ones. God was testing them. And so he gave them instructions. Look at verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?
And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near to the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. He has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. They were complaining against God. You see how Moses emphasizes that over and over again, complaining against God, complaining against God. And what did he tie it to? He ties it to God's glory. And he says, God's going to provide. And you're insulting his glory, taking glory away from him, making him look smaller than he is, less powerful than he is by your complaining against him. But he is going to show how good and compassionate and kind and powerful and loving he is as he provides for you. He will put his glory on display and you will know him because of his provision. And then look at verse 13. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is this? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. As much as he can eat, you shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. Then Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. So, God took care of them, gave them what they needed. Gave them exactly, and the thing with this section of the story that just calls out to me, he gave them exactly what they needed to be satisfied, to be fulfilled, to get up from the table and say, wow, I'm good. As much as I would like to eat more, don't need to. Happy, satisfied. He gave them what they needed. He provided for them. That's the definition of provision. God provided for them. And then look at how he weaves his test into this, his test of their obedience. Moses said to them, verse 19, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning and it bred worms and stank. Fast-growing worms, right, overnight. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil. All that is left over, lay aside to be kept until morning. They laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. It did not stink. There were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find any in the field. 6 days you will gather it. On the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. The Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place, that no one got to go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So many interesting things, parts of this story. God wove his test into it, right? Gather as much as you need. Don't gather any more. Eat what you need. Don't overeat. And they didn't listen to the whole thing. Some of them didn't. Some of them did. Some of them didn't. God was testing their obedience, their trust in him. And when they didn't obey him, what happened? Did he take it away and say, see, you don't deserve me to give you this bread? Well, they didn't deserve it. But grace led God to continue to give them bread. But they suffered the consequences because, you know, it went bad. There were worms and it was stinky. And God has grace with them. And provides for them in spite of their disobedience, and at the same time testing them and teaching them to obey him and trust in him and depend on him and know that he will take care of them as he provides for them. And so look at how it finishes, verse 31. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. How does that sound delicious? It's been a couple hours since I had breakfast, so reading about food is not good. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Moses placed it before the testimony to be kept. That is so neat. They took it, this stuff that couldn't last from one day to the next, if you kept it overnight, unless it was, the sixth day, and then God kept it for the seventh, they kept it for forever. They put a jar of it, and they kept it for forever, and it didn't go bad, and God kept it as a sign that I provide for you. The food that you put in your mouth is food that I give you. I provide for what you need. I satisfy your hunger. And then look at the last couple of verses in 35. The people of Israel ate manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. It's a little mathematical measuring note for us there at the end. Big idea. God satisfies his people's hunger. God satisfies his people's hunger. He took care of them. They were hungry, and he satisfied them. He gave them bread from heaven, bread from literally rain down from heaven. It's just popped in my mind. My kids, they probably wouldn't like it anymore, but many years ago, you know that movie, the movie where the food rained down from heaven? Anybody with kids probably knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay. I don't remember what it's called, but the food raining down from heaven. That's what this was. There was bread raining down from heaven. And it wasn't a fake movie. This really happened. God took care of his people. He gave them bread. He gave them the most basic food that we need. What do we need? What do we need to survive? We need, maybe if you're paleo, you don't, but most of us, most of the time, we need bread. We need bread, and God gave them bread. He took care of them, and it came down from heaven, from God. God, the Creator, gave them what they needed to sustain their life and keep them alive. He satisfied their hunger. So what does that have to do with us? Because the last time it rained, it wasn't, you tell your kids, don't go out and drink the rainwater. There might be like bad stuff in it. You can't even drink the stuff that comes out. What does this have to do with us? Well, we have hunger. And not the, I ate breakfast a couple of hours ago and I'm kind of hungry now hunger. We have deeper hungers inside of us. We have hungers that, like they had hunger, but we have hunger for, deep holes inside of us that need to be filled. We want to be known and to be appreciated. We want things, and we want successes, and we want to achieve things, and we want to be happy. We want to be satisfied. We're always seeking something that will satisfy us, that will slate our hunger. It satisfies. They thought that food would satisfy them, and did, but they thought they needed it so much to the point where they insulted God by complaining against him to get it. We look for what will satisfy us. We run after new friends or new lovers or new more money or more accomplishments or things or anything, and we'll sacrifice anything to get what that thing is that we think will make us happy right now. We are always looking for something that will satisfy us, and ironically, nothing ever does. No matter what you achieve, and some of us have lived long enough that you've achieved something, you've gotten several things that you thought would make you happy, you've accomplished some of the stuff that at one time you thought would make you happy, and what do we realize? There's always something else. It's never enough. I'm never satisfied. I'm never happy. I can never just be sitting quietly, happily. I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to work tomorrow, and it'll be. But I'm good now. I'm happy. No. We're not happy. We're not content. We're never satisfied. We're not truly at peace. Why? Because we want more. And there always is more to go after. So this story becomes a parable for you and I, for our lives, because what do we feel when we are physically hungry? You get hungry enough, you feel empty inside, right? Isn't that the same thing that we feel when we're not satisfied, when we're looking for something more? If I only had this, if I only had this, if this person wasn't in my life, if that person was in my life, if I could do this, if I could achieve this, if I could, I feel empty. And what do we feel when we when we eat and we're full and we feel satisfied, well, that's what we're looking for on the inside as we chase after things and experiences and stuff. And the big idea for you and I from this story is that Jesus can truly satisfy us. He can satisfy that internal hunger, that emptiness inside that we seek to fill up with other people and experiences and things and achievements, and because we were made for him. And he can truly, and only he could truly satisfy us. Jesus is, if you take this story's theme and you push it forward to Jesus, Jesus is the true and the better bread that comes from heaven to satisfy us. Not my words. Those are his words. Let's read his words. Look at John chapter 6. Now, to put it in context, we have two big things that we're reading today, so I didn't want to read the whole context because that would be just a lot of reading. So we're going to jump in the middle of the story after Jesus had given more than 5,000 people food to eat, actual food. He gave them food to eat. One boy's lunch became food for 5,000 men and all the, you know, women and children that were there with them. So a bunch of people ate. They just ate this huge free meal from Jesus. And then Jesus walks on the water. No one sees this except his disciples when he gets to them, because the disciples take a boat, start crossing the river, leaving that place. Jesus walks on the water, catches up to them, and then the next day. So look at John 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they'd eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. So they went to find him. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." So Jesus immediately goes from physical food to spiritual internal fulfillment. He makes a jump, and they're not going to follow him. They're not going to follow him. Some of them not at all. Some of them not for a moment. But he gets why they were seeking him. They were seeking him the same reason that you and I instinctively seek God a lot of times. I want a better, comfortable life now. They wanted a drive-through window for their next meal that they wouldn't have to pay anything for, that Jesus would just give them another meal. That he made food from something from nothing. They ate. They were happy and they were satisfied. And let's find him again. I'm hungry again. So they were looking for more food. He knows that. And so he makes his bridge to something deeper, something more spiritual, something that is internal. Look at verse 28. I need to tie my glasses on my face. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the work of God?" So they kind of enter into the spiritual conversation with him. And then Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." Love that verse. We could do like a whole month on that verse. It's what's the work that God wants from us? Well, to put our trust in Jesus, to believe in him. And so he continues. Look at verse, I'll continue down to verse 30. Yeah. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." This is like, you know, the little kid who, his mom says, "Don't ask your barber." Are there still barbers? Okay. I get my hair cut at home, so you could probably. Little kid who goes to the barber and his mom says, "Don't ask the barber for the sucker that he gives the little kids afterwards. That just, you know, just let him give it to you." And the little kid goes in and after his haircut pulls out a picture of a lollipop and shows it to the barber and to show him the artwork that he's been working on. And guides the barber into giving him the lollipop. It's that little hinting that that's what they're doing. So transparent and so just silly. They're manipulating Jesus. He's trying to steer them into, you have internal hunger. I gave you physical food, filled you up. I can do that on the inside. I can make you completely fulfilled. You're chasing stuff and you're not happy. Not food, but stuff inside. And I can fulfill that. And they don't get it. And they say, we want the food. We want the Big Mac. We want to eat. And Jesus says, look at verse 32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Again, steering them back. There's a fulfillment. There's the manna that they ate in the desert. That bread, that was just a shadow. I'm the reality. My Father actually gives the true bread. And then he continues. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Jesus is saying in so many words, I am the true and better manna. You ate manna in the desert. I'm the true bread. I'm the one who came down from heaven. I'm the fulfillment of that story in the Old Testament where for all those years God rained down bread. He rained me down. I came down from heaven, and I can truly satisfy you. There's security in this. I can feel your hunger on the inside. And if you come to me, I won't throw you out. I won't reject you when you give yourself to me. I'm sent from the Father, and I do what he wills. And you know what my Father wills? He wants to complete you. He wants to satisfy you. He wants to fill your hunger on the inside. He wants to give you life, true life. He wants to give you eternal life. That's what my Father wants to do. But the Jews grumbled. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down from heaven? They were getting testy, I think in part because they were hungry and they were figuring out, we're not going to get food from this guy today. This isn't going to work out the way we want it. Now we got to go home and cook. And they were not happy. And Jesus answered them, do not grumble about yourself among yourselves. No one can come. Page flip, sorry. No one could come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from the Father. He has seen the Father. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. No. That's a twist in the story, at least if you're listening then to them before the cross. Then the Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live through because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. That's a good, it's section of Scripture. Why? That's the gospel. That's what the gospel is. That's what the good news is. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I can satisfy you, give you eternal life, never hunger. And the way that he satisfies us, the way that he gives us life, is by sacrificing his life. That's what he's saying. He's going to sacrifice his life. His body will be broken. His blood will be shed. And that will give us life. The bread of life that we receive through Jesus, in Jesus, as Jesus, comes through his death. And then he says, and you have to receive that. When he says you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, what he's saying is you have to receive my death. You have to enter into my death. You have to enter into me. You have to give yourself to me. You have to receive my blood and my body that's going to be sacrificed for you. And we know that now looking backwards. And we know that the way you enter in is by making a decision to give yourself to him, by repenting and being baptized. You have to enter in and receive. You have to receive his broken body and his spilt blood. And then you receive eternal life. And he truly becomes the bread of life for anyone who enters into him. That's the big idea from this whole story, from Exodus all the way through to Jesus, when he says, I'm the fulfillment of that. I'm the real one. That bread that came down from heaven got worms. You ate it, you know, and then it stopped coming down. I'm the true bread of life. You receive me as I die and am sacrificed for you, and my body is broken. My body that is I'm the bread and it's broken, and you'll receive life. You'll receive eternal life. You'll be satisfied on the inside. You will truly be satisfied. You will never hunger. You won't have the emptiness on the inside. So what do we do? What does this story call us to do? Doesn't it call us to, well, first, receive the bread of life? So if you're outside of Jesus, if you've never made your decision as an adult to repent and be baptized, to be immersed in water, to make a mental decision and a heart decision and repentance, to give yourself to him and with your body to be immersed and to come out of the water, then you're outside of him. You haven't put your trust in him. You haven't done what he said when you have to receive me. That's what he's saying. You haven't done that. And so you know this, if you think about it. Isn't it true? Nothing satisfies you know there's something more, and you're never completely at peace. You're never content. This story is for you. If that's you, this story is for you, because this story is a story of, hey, you can have peace as you go through the rest of your life. You can have eternal life. You can be fulfilled on the inside every moment from now till the end, until you stand before Jesus and have eternal life with him. But you have to enter into him. What's the work of the Father to believe in the Son? You have to put your trust in him. You have to give yourself to him. You have to make the decision that he will be your Lord and Master. You have to repent and be baptized. And as you make that decision, you enter into him and you receive life. You receive true life. And then he fills the hunger on the inside. He gives you happiness and he gives you peace. And you're fulfilled. He satisfies. Let me ask you a question. If that's you, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, think on this question. What is keeping me today from making that decision? And when you come to a point, whether it's today or some other time, when you come to a point and you say, nothing, I don't know, I got to do that, I have to make that decision, tell someone. In this community, you can repent, be baptized. That's why water is kept at a comfortable range of temperature. Behind me at all times, you can come into the family of God. You can receive the body and blood of Christ and the bread of life. If you're a Christian, what does this call us to do? Doesn't it call us to find our joy and our satisfaction in Jesus? You know, we go through life and there's moments where we feel unsatisfied and unhappy and we want something more, and I'm after that. And maybe as I was talking about that today, popped in your mind, yeah, I got to have this to be happy. I'm after this and we're never happy. And if you've put your trust in Jesus, if you've entered into him, he's entered into you and his spirit is in you, and you're in him and he's in you. And I think this is a call for you and I to remember that reality. And those moments when we feel the hunger inside and say, I need this to be happy. I need this to be happy. It's a call for us to remember, I'm a child of God. My Father loves me and he's happy with me. I'm forgiven. I have Christ and I have everything in him. I have a promise of eternal life after this life. There is nothing more that I need to be happy. I am a completely fulfilled, loved child of God. That's not positive self-talk. That's remembering the promises of the gospel. That's what that is. And we should do that every day, and we should say that to ourselves every day in one form or another. And because when we do, we are able to be happy and fulfilled and completely satisfied, even as we go through our very imperfect lives. So, question for you, if you're a Christian, could you take that on? Could you think about the things that you have in Christ, what you've received, and that you can be fully satisfied in him in those moments when you feel the hunger inside and you say, I need something more? And can you think about what you have in Christ and say, I know, I can be satisfied in him. I can be satisfied in my Father, what I have. I have the bread of life. I'm fulfilled. I can be and I should be. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, then we will sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so, so good. We love you, Father. On days like today when we read about what you have done for us and given us, it'd be so incredible to be in the desert and see bread coming down. We'd want to stay up late and watch it. That would be incredible. But what you've given us is even better than that. You've given us the real bread from heaven. You can completely satisfy us. So God, I pray for my friends among us today who have not made the decision to follow you, who are not your children, that you would draw them to you and that you would move in them so that they would be able to put their trust in Jesus and that they would come to him in repentance and baptism, make him their Savior and Lord, and be satisfied by the one who can satisfy. For my brothers and sisters and myself included, who we have that, and we forget that, and we live unsatisfied lives. Would you remind us, God? Would you remind us when we are seeking something else that'll make us happy, that we have it all? We're your children. We have the bread of life. And you satisfy us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.